Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, to get 30, to get 20, 20, 20, to get 20, 20, to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Guys, welcome back to Higher Priestess. I'm Erin.
And I'm Persephone.
And today we're going to be talking about glow-ups. But before we get into it, I wanted to share some news with you.
Oh my god, I can't wait. I don't know what this is.
This is hot off the press. This is literally like about 2 hours ago this came out.
Oh wow.
But I'm very on the ball when it comes to news about Kenny Ortega.
I don't know who that is.
God. So Kenny Ortega is the mastermind behind High School Musical.
Oh, wow. Okay. I'm in.
Dirty Dancing, Cheat Girls 2.
Got it. All the classics.
That's extra funny, actually, because this morning I was saying this to Jack. So this is an article that came out probably about 3 hours ago now. And this morning I said it to Jack. Oh, my God. So you know Kenny Ortega? And he said, yeah. And I was like, do you? And he said, yeah. I said, who is it then? He said, the guy from High School Musical. I was like,
the guy from Cheetah Girls 2.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that is hilarious.
I was like, wow, all right, impressive. Kenny Ortega has done an interview with Variety. This isn't necessarily good news, it's just interesting news.
Yeah.
There's much to get into. He's broken his silence. And he, in it, they ask about, so it's for Pride, I think. Quite interestingly, the headline is something along the lines of Kenny Ortega confirms that Ryan from High School Musical is gay.
This, right? Well, to be honest, it doesn't take a genius to realise, but it does add a whole new level to Hey Batter Batter Swing with Chad.
Completely.
Where I've always dreamt is kind of a gay sort of mating call between the two of them.
Well, that's the thing. So there's issues on a few levels. Yeah, first of all, I mean, it's massive queer coding the whole time in the sense that we fucking, we knew. We all knew. The little hat, we knew.
But then we saw him holding hands with, like, Martha. It's like, no.
But he's dancing around with Gabriella saying he's eating her brownies.
Yes, I know. I've had them.
And Zach's like, yeah, I fucking tried them before, you cunt.
Yeah. Quite rude from both of them.
Yeah, weird moment. Interesting, yeah. So it's queer coding, essentially, the whole thing has been like three films of this person who's very clearly gay, and then Kenny Ortega says he's gay the whole time, but like we just thought, you know, he'd come out in college. However, take it even further, really interesting, I think, that in this article, Kenny Ortega is gay himself, and he speaks about how he had drugs placed on him, like planted to get him arrested. He nearly got sentenced to like life.
Whilst filming?
No, like back in the day when he was kind of a young, kind of gay actor, he was in a musical all around America and the KKK got up on stage and like attacked them.
Oh my God.
He's been through obviously some, obviously he's been through trauma as a result of how people feel about other people's sexuality, which is just insane anyway. It goes without saying that, I mean, even in 2020, you know, I reckon, largely speaking, if someone doesn't identify as straight, there is some level of embedded trauma as not necessarily a direct consequence of their own sexuality, but a direct consequence of how they have seen society treat people with a sexuality that isn't straightness. So just how horrific that this guy is talking about, like, real serious events, his own experiences as a gay man, a really successful gay man, arguably. And the headline is, Ryan's gay, he's been gay the whole time. It's like, oh, fucking hell, but this is for Pride. He's a Pride icon, apparently.
Also, it's like, it's so obvious that that's offensive. It's like, we know he was gay. He was only not allowed to be gay because it was on Disney Channel, and Disney Channel are homophobic. And they thought that gayness wouldn't sell or wouldn't be appropriate.
Completely. Well, it was really interesting. Kenny Ortega says, I mean, I'm paraphrasing, but he says, I didn't think of it, frankly, because I imagined that Disney wouldn't go for it in 2006. It wouldn't sell to family and kids.
How offensive is that, that people, his personality will sell? Everyone loves Ryan as an individual, but his sexuality, a defining thing about him, is inappropriate and dirty. But we have all the things that we like about gayness and campness. We'll put that all in because that's appropriate. But no, he can't be with a boy. He has to hold hands with a girl at the end.
Completely, completely. So you can capitalize on like a marginalized experience without running the risk of actually standing for anything.
Yeah.
Without being overt in what you're standing for. And interestingly, he says, you know, we put in enough with Ryan so that people watching, gay kids watching, would identify and they would know without saying it. So it's just, there's a whole sphere of God knows what going on there. Really, really interesting, I thought.
It's like, oh my God, the fan fiction we can revive now.
Takes a whole new level.
Yeah.
Confirmed. But it's kind of Dumbledore. It's kind of like, but it's complete, I mean, it's then also it's completely different because Kenny Ortega isn't a fucking LGBT villain. He literally is the community. Whereas JK Rowling, obviously, you know, whatever. I don't know what's going on there.
Turf City, yeah. It's like, let's not even.
So I thought that was interesting. Thought you might like to know.
I love to know it. I love to know it because you know my favourite thing is Batter, Hey Batter Batter because of the sexual undertones.
Yeah, overtones.
So I watch that and just, yeah, overtones. I'm literally watching it with my eyes wide like, fucking hell, what is this? I love it.
Where's this going? Yeah.
Like, what? Like they have to surely kiss at the end. Surely.
Not until college, apparently.
When he goes, swing. Honestly. Surely.
So there we go. So, glow-ups.
Oh my God, so stunning. Big news. Oh yeah, so today we're talking about glow-ups. And shall I read the questions? We did a big, big load of questions on the story, as we do, because we wanted to get your input. So I'm just going to go straight into them and start reading them. So the first thing we asked you was, have you ever felt pressure to glow up? And 90% of you said yes. We're leaving, if you can do math.
I can't do maths.
10% saying no. And this was probably one of our biggest ever reactions. We had hundreds of people saying yes. Like, this is one of the biggest numbers I've seen. And you know I love the numbers as a Capricorn. So then we said, have you ever had a glow up? And interestingly, 62% said yes.
Interesting.
38% no. Fascinating. Do you want a glow up? And I said, i.e., do you desire this form of transformation? 80% yes, 17% no. Do you look... This one I thought was interesting because I discussed this with a few people in person and got some interesting feedback. So it said, do you look down on people that you perceive to be unattractive? And I put in brackets, be honest, because there's no point in trying to look good on our polls. Like, we all look bad here.
No one is ever honest. The demand characteristics on our polls are unfortunate and completely unavoidable at this point. There's nothing really we can do. The social desirability is ongoing.
Yeah, literally.
Just know that we're not fast, guys.
We're not fast. You can look like bad people. It's absolutely fine. Everyone's bad.
That's what we do for an hour each week on this podcast, so don't worry about it.
Every week we look horrific. So you might as well look horrific on an anonymous poll. So do you look down on people that you perceive to be unattractive? 63% said no, they don't, and 37% said yes, they do.
Okay.
I think those numbers should be reversed, personally. Because you want a glow up so badly, but no, you do not pity and look down on people. Yeah, it's like, of course you do, because you look down on yourself.
Right.
You look down on yourself for not glowing up. So, would you rather have an intellectual glow up or a physical glow up? 63% of you guys want an intellectual glow up, and 37% want a physical glow up. What are your thoughts on that?
I mean, I hadn't looked at it, so that's the first time I'm hearing that. The majority of people said they wanted an intellectual glow up more. Yeah, I'm not buying it.
Yeah.
I'm not buying it.
Me neither. What do you prioritise, reading a book or going to the gym? You prioritise the gym every time.
Completely. Yeah, if you wanted an intellectual glow up, you would have done it by now. You would have been glowing up this whole time. And if you are, then that's fine. But you don't feel that you're getting a glow up because no one's looking at you going, oh my God, you've had an intellectual glow up. So even if you are progressing and learning and you feel like your intellect is glowing up, no one else is feeding that back to you.
There's no validation other than what getting a grade back, which is not actually a mark of intellect.
Yeah, I'm shocked actually at that.
The way I was going to word this was like an internal glow up or an external glow up, because I didn't really want to say intellectual because I almost wanted to say spiritual, but then it's like spiritual, everyone's saying physical because everyone's like, what is this woohoo bullshit?
Yeah.
But it's almost like internal, external, like which one do you desire more? Because you would think, oh, internal, definitely. If I can have happiness and awareness and all of these things, surely, but there's no validation for that at all. If anything, society doesn't want you to gain an internal glow up.
Absolutely not. Yeah, no, they'll hide it from you.
They just want you focused on that external. Yeah, so I was thinking that's interesting that so many people say they want an intellectual, i.e. internal glow up.
Over a physical glow up.
This is one. So I was doing some Googling on glow ups, as I do. Literally the first thing that came up was, what age will I glow up? How can I instantly glow up? How can I glow up in a month? Things like that.
I saw that. What age do you normally glow up?
It's like, oh, puberty.
What?
Yeah, exactly.
How sad is that?
There was an interesting thing about summer.
Kenny will tell you, absolute genius.
Yeah, so stunning. A whole thing about summer, about like leaving for summer from school and coming back as this whole new person, all the boys, kind of a Hermione Yule Ball moment.
Kind of Katy Perry, one of the boys that I referenced in the last ep.
Literally, yeah. But I think that's so interesting, especially now that we're in quarantine, because I think there's been a narrative of like glowing up after quarantine, like coming out of quarantine and you've transformed. So I said, did you feel pressure to glow up over summer, specifically as a teenager? And 78% of you said yes, 22% of you said no. Interestingly, a lot of boys answered no, which I think is very interesting. Have you ever attempted a glow up? 79% yes, 21% no.
Have you ever attempted a glow up? 79% said yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I bet you weren't fucking reading your books and fucking meditating when you were attempting your glow up, were you? No. You were doing your eyebrows differently and Googling diets.
Well, I said, i.e. dieting for aesthetics, extreme workouts, drastic hair change, style change, makeup change, etc., etc. And 79% of people are yesing that out. And then I basically wanted to do, I didn't want to say, do you find men or women more likely to have more pressure to glow up? Because that's just absolute bollocks. So I said, why do you think women are encouraged to change themselves? And we'll get into all of your amazing answers later because we've got so many.
Mm-hmm.
But that's the general gist of your guys' opinions.
I had an interesting discovery, actually, coming off of what you said just then about men and women being more inclined to glow up, or being told that the narrative fits more around women being needing to glow up. And so I was reading this article from Vice's ID, and it was talking about from this guy's perspective. So he's like a young gay man, I'm assuming in the UK, and he talks about how he was going on this date and he was about to have sex, and he's a quote unquote twink, this guy, Brandon.
Nice.
He's about to have sex with this guy, and the guy says, I just imagine that you would be like more toned.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So Brandon, the self-proclaimed twink.
It's like, Brandon, you have to leave.
Yeah.
Brandon, you have to leave right now.
So Brandon says, half of me wanted to hit him and the other half of me wanted to sit there and cry.
Yeah.
And so it made me think about what I would do, what I do in those situations, what you do in those situations, what probably everyone listening does in those situations, where half of you wants to cry, the other half wants to hit them. But the reality is the whole of you just stays quiet and has sex with them. When half of you wants to hit them, the other half wants to cry, well, the whole of you just does nothing and you silence yourself and you just go along with it.
I think it's because the whole of you, you want to hit him, you want to cry, but you also just want to like hate yourself. And at that moment, the most self-hating thing you can do is have sex with the person that's just hurt you. So it's the most sort of self-destructive thing you can do at that moment.
Yeah. Well, and also I think it's like you have a low sense of self-esteem anyway. There's not much security going on within your psyche right now. You've been shot down by someone that you're about to have sex with. And so now your internal insecurities have very much been confirmed to you. Yes, I am worthless. I'm a untoned little twink.
And almost, at least he wants me. At least he wants me.
Completely, yeah. And then it's just like, well, I'm not worth hitting him, and I'm not worth running off crying. I may as well just get along with it. And I think that's where the actual... So he said that's where my glow-up journey began, that he fought against this notion of being a twink, which I think is really patriarchally charged.
Hugely.
That's a phrase that it will be now, in the sense that, oh, now you're feminine. And so you're a certain type of gay because you're the feminine gay and you're the tiny.
You're the weak one. You're the weak, submissive one.
And so I think he marked that as the beginning of his turn into quite a jockey, bulky, muscular man. But I actually think, really, in practice, this probably would have been a good place to end the podcast, not start it. But I think the real glow up starts when you get in those situations where half of you wants to hit someone and half of you wants to cry. You actually just communicate and harness the situation and demand not only a bit of justification from them, but also teach that person what the standard is from which they should be treating you. And also teach yourself and build a new association there, where in situations where you're hurt and attacked, you're not silencing yourself or shrinking yourself, you are standing up for yourself. Because if you can build, if you've lived your whole life, personally speaking, the majority of my life, and I think the majority of people's years that they've been on this planet listening to this podcast, whenever you are faced with something where you are essentially being attacked or invalidated or hurt by something, it is the easier thing to do, more often than not, to shrink. And so you associate pain and hurt with shrinking yourself. And so I think it then becomes really obvious that in life, where you're constantly chasing validation, we then seek to physically shrink ourselves and try and be skinny in order to seek that validation. You want to silence yourself. You want to silence that acne on your skin.
Well, it's almost like safety. Like, the smaller you are, the safer you are. And the bigger you are, the more you're seen. You can be seen by everyone, and therefore everyone can comment, everyone says stuff. It's like, oh, okay, well, I'll just, if then safety becomes aligned with smallness and danger and self-hatred becomes aligned with bigness, it's like, well, I'll just go for the safe, small, tiny version of myself that no one can comment on.
Well, the more people that see you, the more people are going to have something to say to you.
It's becoming invisible. It's basically just a huge invisibility cloak,
which is loaded with patriarchy, because you wouldn't have, in the same way, a straight man who's maybe naturally skinnier or smaller than his peers. There's no label for that. He wouldn't be called a twink to begin with, first of all. And then beyond that, even if he is looking to fit in with, again, patriarchal standards of what people should look like, of masculinity, it's toxic. But it's still the patriarchy.
Also, then it's become aligned with bigness. It's like, for a guy, it's take up more space, make yourself louder, make yourself more. But a woman, it's make yourself way less, be less, think less, everything. You must just be less than a man in every way. Well, there we go. The world is taken up by men that are allowed to be big and women that are allowed to be small. They're not allowed to be anything but.
Big men. Man spreading on the tube.
Horrific.
In every way, you're told to be small. So, but I think that's where the actual glow up starts. And I think it's a nice idea that everyone voted that they would rather have an intellectual glow up. And I saw someone said, what about an emotional one? Which I actually thought that was interesting.
I was umming and ahhing between what word I would use to be the opposite of physical.
Mm.
Because obviously the opposite of physical is not intellectual, but I purposely put intellectual because it's like, I think that's an area that you would desire to build upon. Whereas emotions, I mean, we're on a podcast where we are all trying to get a hold of emotional issues, but I think a lot of people, that does feel very far from them. The opposite of like beauty is intelligence, like the beauty in the brains. That sort of idea.
What I found interesting about an emotional glow up is like, well, as a human being, you have a whole scope of emotions that you should be able to feel all of them within decent balance.
Yeah, what does a glow up look like? Is it happiness all the time, which is not desirable?
Yeah, that doesn't work.
I think I've had an emotional glow up in a way.
Lovely.
Yeah, but it doesn't mean being happy the whole time. It's almost like, I think I used to have, when I was a teenager, a really I mean, it's literally just hormones, but just kind of a really, what's it, a mood swingy personality of like, when I was sad, it was the end of the world and I'd almost be quite like tantrum-y and it would be an awful thing. Mm. And it would just be, I was quite like a volatile person to be around.
Yeah.
Or in my mind, it was like that anyway. It was quite like a tumultuous place to be in my mind. And now I think it's almost like quite a calm place. And if something happens that triggers me in a certain way, I can deal with that in a certain way, and you know,
more balanced.
Yeah, I think there's definitely an element of balance that's just like, there's good and bad in life, and you can, when something bad happens, it's not the end of the world. When something good, it's not so manic almost as a teenager. I think I've had an emotional glow up, but I definitely think it's not emotional glow up is like, it's not just create a happy mind.
Yeah, it's just, let's just not be sad then. Oh, emotional glow up. Mm-hmm. Glowed up. So yeah. How did you have an emotional glow up then? Because something else that I wanted to point out with the poll of everyone voting, or the majority voting, that they would rather have an intellectual glow up, is I also think that even if it's not a level, you know, even if they're not completely paralleled, I do think the idea of an intellectual glow up can in many ways be just as damaging, if not probably more so in some ways, in the sense that it's a lifestyle glow up. Yeah, it's like,
because it's, you don't think you're ugly, you think you're stupid.
You need to wake up every morning at 5 a.m. and go to the gym and drink your smoothie and go and read your 10 books in 2 days, and like, you need to be a perfect person in harmony, when actually there's nothing harmonious about that. You would be miserable.
Yeah, utterly miserable. I think it's really interesting that people said they want an intellectual glow up, because when I was speaking to people about their answers, because I was sitting with my housemates and they were answering them kind of with me, and going through, which I always find so fascinating to see people's like thought process behind stuff we've written, because it's just hilarious.
Yeah.
And they were saying, oh, well, physical, because I've already had the intellectual, like, I don't need to, oh, like, definitely physical. And someone was like, oh yeah, because that's because you're already smart to them. It would be like, oh, well, I'll take a physical one then, because I've like that base is kind of more covered.
How interesting to think that you're already as intellectually glowed up as you can be at his young 23 years or whatever.
He didn't say that, but he said, oh, he jumped to, oh, well, I have the physical one then.
Because I've completed it, mate.
His friend said, oh, but that's because you're already clever. And he went, oh, yeah, that's probably why. He wasn't saying, oh, I'm already glowed up.
Interesting that people think of cleverness and like glowing up your intellect.
Which one would you rather, if you could have an intellectual or a physical glow up, in these terms that we're using that are so vague?
Imagine I'm like, I think I've handled them both, so
both covered.
I don't think there's much room here to move. Which would I rather?
That's what we asked. We made everyone else ask. Answer it, you've got to do it.
Yeah, I don't know why. I'm like, guys, just answer the question. It's not fucking hard. Then you ask me, it's going to take like 10 minutes. Let me think.
This is what I always do, because I wrote them out and then I went on to my own one later. I was like, oh, what's a high priestess post? I was like, oh, it's me an hour ago. And I was going through the questions. I was like, fuck, like, they're hard, like, they're not easy questions.
They're hard and you really want to justify it. I get why everyone's spilling over into the question boxes, like, blah, 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 yeah, blah, blah. When I said this, I actually meant this, and when I voted that, it was because of blah, blah. I voted that by accident. It's like,
yeah, totally.
I do that all the time.
Because even the first one, it was like, do you desire a glow up? It's like, do I desire a glow up? It's like so impossible to answer, because it's like, I know socially I should not want one, but do I want one? If you offered me tomorrow,
desire as well is quite beautiful.
Yeah, it's like, if you offered me, you're going into surgery tomorrow, you've got the books on the go, like, you're gonna wake up and you're gonna be basically Jonathan from Queer Eye level of beauty,
self-actualized,
my king, but you're gonna come out tomorrow and you would have glowed up, like, do you want that? Like, or is the journey more important? Like, are the flaws more important? I was really trying to think, like, do I want
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Something I thought was really interesting and a really good point that somebody said... which I should probably find, and I should have found it before I started speaking, sorry. We just had like a 5-minute break and I did absolutely nothing, and now... Okay. Women are celebrated the most in their youth and beauty. Sad face. Honestly, sad face for me too.
Crying face.
Someone essentially said it's easier. Pretty privilege undeniably involves better treatment, and as a child, you want that. Yeah. If your life is easier, if you look a certain way, we've said it time and time again, and now you're saying back to us, it's completely true.
Time and time again. I also think it's kind of more than that. As a wanting it as a child, it's almost about the media as well that you watch, that you consume, because it's like, not only do you see the girls on magazines who get to be on the magazines, and the girl in your school gets to date the boy that you like in year 5, when you're like, oh my god, I fancy this guy who has kind of spiky hair.
Dreamy. Frosted tips.
Yeah, so dreamy. Kind of a flame t-shirt. Like the kind of shirt that has the flames on.
He's sliding along the floor at the disco on his knees.
Hot stuff. But it's kind of also the... You're watching the Disney princess who is so stunning, and she's the main character, in quotes. Well, she actually is the main character. But and then you think, oh, well, I'll be the main character if I look like that, or I can be the sidekick that looks pretty enough, but she doesn't get the prince, and she doesn't really get to go on the adventure, but she's like... She has a good life. Like, she's the cook in the house. She's the maid. Like, it's fine.
Kind of, even the extras are better looking than you, and they are nothing.
Yeah, completely that.
Mortifying. Look what we've done. You know what else is so... Kind of, we talk about this all the time, but the makeover scene.
Yeah, the makeover scene.
As what you watch as a kid from, like, the 80s.
Yeah.
And then combine that with social media... It's like, oh, okay, so I can transform.
And you can go from Princess Diaries kind of breaking the brush with your frizzy hair, glasses girl, to being the Princess of Genovia. Like, it's wow, that's hardly like a big decision I've got to make. It's like, oh, well, get me in that chair, get me the makeover right now. Instant decision.
Did you ever think about makeover? Like,
I definitely thought about the makeover scene in films. Like, I definitely, when there was a makeover scene, like, I was excited. Still am in Queer Eye. Like, still love that.
Yeah, isn't that interesting, actually? Should we talk about that?
What, Queer Eye? I love to talk about Queer Eye at any moment of the day. Call me at 3 a.m, I'll talk about Queer Eye with you.
Because you love Queer Eye. I have pleasant feelings.
I watch it in the bath. That's where I watch it.
Oh, you say I'm risky in the bath. Because I use my phone and stuff in the bath.
You're risky in the bath because you play Switch in the bath.
But you watch TV in the bath. You bring your TV, folds right into the wall. You pull off your TV and put it into the bath.
No, I put it. I copied this off my brother because he has a really luxurious like bath routine, and I thought, God, that really is the life. Like, he takes like kind of food in there, and like,
oh, same. It's
like,
yeah,
he takes like fruit. Like, it's almost like a Roman bath like that he creates. He has like.
Someone's peeling his grapes and fanning him down.
Genuinely, he has like candles, big like boiling hot steaming bath, a bowl of fruit, and he's type 1 diabetic, so he's like injected for the fruit, like all prep. And then he has on the toilet seat, he puts his iPad there. So it's just this whole
nice.
Bath experience, and I thought, that's what I want to watch Queer Eye on the toilet seat with me in the bath with an ice coffee. I love, my new thing is I have an iced coffee in the bath, and it, that mix of like hot, extreme hot and extreme cold.
Oh, you need a cold drink in the bath.
It's like my body doesn't know what to do, and it's just like, whoa. It's an amazing experience. I do just think everyone should do that.
Yes. I mean, if you're not having a bath, like at least I'm going to need it to be twice a week. I don't know for you.
Yeah, yeah. Completely agree. I had one last night, yeah.
Stunning.
So stunning. I love just that extreme temperature thing of like, God, it's so hot that I'm about to like faint. Like, it's so hot.
But don't you ever get it where you put your foot in the bath and you're like, right, I've taken it too far this time.
Well, every time. I remember, like, every
and
time.
And your bum
I think.
Is burning up.
Well, I can't do it. I kind of do a few laps kind of walking to kind of mix it up.
Do like, you? I kind of sit. I sit on the bath and I dip my toes in.
Oh, really?
Bit by bit. Kind of when you're getting into the pool on holiday and you kind of splash yourself.
Just dip a toe in. A dip in the pool.
Yeah, come on in. The water's fine. But it's not. The water is like fucking steaming. Like you're going to be boiling alive.
Yeah, yeah. Mine is boiling alive. Like I've...
Like I'm bobbing about like a lobster.
Yeah, honestly, I was going to say like I'm in a pot of pasta. Like it's really bad.
It's bad, yeah.
It's like boiling water, yeah. But that's how I like it. If you take a really cold drinking as well, it's like...
With ice.
Honestly, the most strange experience. Like, your inside of your body, like, your whole stomach is frozen, but your skin is boiling.
Kind of the camera is zooming in, following the ice going down your body.
It's so stunning. I really highly recommend that whole experience.
So that's how you consume Queer Eye?
That's how I consume Queer Eye, because I find then when you're watching a whole transformation, it's like this big experience. You're kind of like dying a little bit in your own body, and you're watching like Bobby build a house. Like, oh my God, I can't imagine anything better. You're transformed by the time you come out of the bar.
So is it problematic that they physically transform them and like change up their whole lives in order for them to be happy based on what five other people think?
Well, it depends on who the five people are, and I must say the five that they've picked are pretty fab.
The Fab Five.
But they, I think the way they do it, obviously any makeover scene, there's just like a history of like problematic stuff that goes into filming makeovers. But I think the way they do it,
because they do women too, don't they?
Yeah, they do men and women.
Because I've seen, so they're five guys. Mm-hmm. What is it? Three of them are white? But is that not interesting? So three, I've seen an episode where it's a black woman being made over by white men. And they're kind of walking around to their house and they're like picking up kind of old food and stuff. They're like, oh my God, you're such a tramp. Like, they're not rude, obviously. They're like crying with them.
No, they are rude. Like Anthony, when he sees the food. Yeah, I guess that, yeah, it is strange.
I know you love it. I like it too. I think it's great.
I think you can't be on Netflix without there being problematic stuff. Like, it's a capitalist institution. It's a white capitalist world. In terms of the makeover thing that is going on there, it's very much, I know it is orientated around like the external, but there is, they do the external for the internal. Like, Karamo is very involved. Like, it's very mind heavy therapy revolving around like transforming how you feel. That's the how it's marketed anyway, whether that's what's happening or not.
Definitely. That's what I was going to say, because I reckon a lot of that internal transformation actually is more about getting a good story for the audience and selling in the Fab Five than it is about making that person be any happier.
And you feel confident because Tan's finally put you in a pair of jeans that fit you right, and then you get people go, oh yeah, you look good, and it's like, oh well, then I must be transformed. Absolutely. And how long does that last before it wears off and all of that? But I mean, I just love every single person involved.
Yeah, what do you love about it so much? You love them as individuals, kind of. If they were doing something else that wasn't Queer Eye, you'd back it still. Like, it's about them.
All their podcasts. Yeah, I do back them all in every way I can. I think they just are, I don't know how they picked a squad more compatible. I love them all with my full heart.
Well, that's great. That's really special, isn't it?
It's so that. It's like, you've got my absolute king, Jonathan. I also have a quite controversial second favourite Fab Five member, which is Bobby. I love Bobby.
Which one's that? Is that the blonde one?
He does the house.
Is he blonde?
Yeah, he's like kind of strawberry blonde.
Strawberry blonde.
I would say strawberry blonde.
Okay.
I love him.
So you always
Anthony.
Love the transformations. Oh, sorry. I've stepped on your rating.
I was just working out. Then it probably goes Anthony, just because I love how he looks.
Beautiful.
But then I would say, to be honest, they are all joined other than Jonathan, who stands out from the crowd.
He's the king.
He is my absolute king. Everyone listen to his audiobook or buy his book. I would recommend listening so you get his voice. Just a Jonathan tip.
He really needs our advertising.
Yeah. Everyone, have you heard of Jonathan?
I think he's struggling.
Oh, he's so stunning.
So you loved the transformation stuff mm-hmm. when you were a kid.
Well, I don't know if I loved the transformation stuff, but I think I was told that I loved it and therefore I loved it.
Right.
You see, even like Wild Child.
Yeah, like fucking Ali Sheedy, Katie Harron, whatever her name is. Everyone's done it.
That moment, of course you love it because it's their big, it's kind of them becoming empowered by society standards of now you're stepping into your power. Before you were like a weedy loser, obviously hugely wrong that you have to be pretty to be empowered. I disagree with that with my whole heart. But I think you watch that as a child, you're told, yeah, that's what you should aspire for. And that just goes in somewhere and you just become a bit more fucked.
Do you think Mean Girls, I love Mean Girls, in any way redeems itself at the end? I remember Tina Fey specifically talking about how at the end, Katie, is it Caddy or Katie?
It's Katie, but they call her Caddy, isn't it?
But she says, and she's like, I'm going to call you Caddy. And she's like, fuck you. Right, okay.
It's been years since I've seen Mean Girls.
I think it does really hold up.
Yeah, from what I remember.
And 2004 was a long time ago. But I remember Tina Fey specifically talking about how at the end, they didn't have Katie come into this kind of mini skirt, like tube top look. And then at the end, go completely back to what she was. Or stay with who she was, blah, blah, blah. It's kind of, and they never had her be super the ugly girl. I remember her saying it was never a conscious decision. It was very much a conscious decision, sorry, to not have her be kind of Princess Diaries vibe, yeah. To not have her be, you know, she was just dressing pretty mediocrely, pretty average, run-of-the-mill 2004 girl. She was just in her jeans and her little polo top, which you would hate.
Hate it. Oh yeah, I've got a phobia of polo tops, just context.
Just kind of all collars, really.
We'll go into it. I've got a huge phobia, but we'll go into another point. I can't even talk about them. I'm like, move, next subject, please. Nope.
So I think that's really interesting that still in 2004, there was, I guess, quite a minor shift, but still a consciousness around not setting up the main character to have such an extreme transformation as super, super ugly.
Kind of Sandy moment.
Yeah, because also Lindsay Lohan is stunning. Emma Watson was always beautiful just because now she's in a pretty dress and she's still beautiful. You know, and so I wonder if at the end of Mean Girls, do they redeem themselves by tearing up the tiara and all of that and sharing it around? And it's not so much about being empowered in your beauty. She's like winning with the mathletes and still is the prom queen or whatever.
Yeah, well, it definitely was like revolutionary, her doing the prom, doing the snapping of the tiara.
Social suicide.
Yeah, literally social suicide. I think it's stunning. Yeah, I guess it does redeem itself, but I don't know really what it's redeeming from because it's already part of female cinema, female teen cinema that is so problematic. It feeds into that, but it also kind of is slightly satirical in the same way. Like it is kind of, it fits in a really niche place that now places other films have like emulated, but it definitely was one of the first, if not the first, that was enjoyable to watch with no awareness of the makeover scene.
Sellable. It's marketable.
Yeah, exactly. But also you could watch it as a man who has no context of, oh my God, I desire a glow up, a transformation, and watch it and still really enjoy it.
Because I think also part of it is, and this doesn't necessarily make it better, but part of it is you're made to kind of ridicule the Regina and the Gretchen and the Karen and think they're kind of stupid and like ridiculous. So when they're kind of propping about with Katie, who you know is super smart and she does maths and she's so cool and math is the same in every country and it's so beautiful.
Yeah.
And so you're kind of laughing. It's kind of at another woman's expense. It's like, even though we're watching this makeover scene and we can see that Katie's being transformed into something quite beautiful and blah, 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 and then that is still being redeemed in its own way because it's supposed to be satirical. Even when it's satirical, you're still then, there's still another woman at the expense of that. There's still another woman who is the butt of that joke.
It still operates in the system of those movies, which are patriarchal, but also really enjoyable.
With Tina Fey.
Yeah.
It's complex.
It really is. There is that thing of ridiculing the popular girl, i.e. I was thinking, Angus Thong's kind of like Slaggy Lindsay.
Mm.
It's like the fact that we hate Slaggy Lindsay so much. It's like, oh my God, she...
It's more damaging.
She wears, what are they called? Like push-up things in her bra. What are they called?
Chicken fillets.
Chicken fillets. She wears chicken fillets and we see her take them out and it's like, oh my God.
Fuck her.
She's so fake. And it's like, what is this strange narrative that we like the girl with the big nose and the weird cat and she loves Robbie and all of this. We love her. She does like wear weird clothes, Georgia.
She's actually really unlikable, Georgia. I never watched that film as a child and I reckon I escaped quite a lot of damaging messaging from it.
You never liked Angus Thongs?
I never watched it when I was a kid. I wanted to, but I didn't. God. Never got around to it. I was obviously busy doing God knows what else.
I was obsessed.
Yeah, but I think you can tell who was really bought into Angus Thongs because they still call other girls sluts and slags or say I'm going to wear a really slutty outfit.
Do you know what Georgia is? Georgia is so I'm not like other girls.
Yeah, completely.
It's so that kind of, oh my God, she's Slaggy Lindsay.
And she's the main character. And you know what it is? Early 2000s.
Yeah, totally.
The tone has shifted where now it's kind of not cool to be Regina. And if you are Regina, we're kind of laughing at you a bit. We still want to fuck you. You're still the hottest one.
Yeah.
You're still, in a sense, the main character and the coolest. But we're not happy about it.
This is why Booksmart was so important because the popular kids in that film, I mean, if you haven't seen Booksmart, you will have mm-hmm. to see it. Like, if we ever recommend anything in this,
yeah,
it's Booksmart. Like, more than anything I could recommend is Booksmart. But the popular kids in that film are getting internships at, like, Apple, Google, whatever, going to fucking Harvard, Yale, like, all these amazing unis and are academic. And the kind of losers of that school were like, oh, but we've studied, we're going to these unis. And it's like, yeah, but everyone else, the cool people are too. We went to parties and we.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's such an important thing of, like, they're not Regina Georges, which are dumb, like Karen from Mean Girls. It's like, oh my God, I'm touching my boob and I know it's raining, like, I'm a dumbo. It's like, no, you're pretty. You conform to patriarchal standards and you're going to Harvard. Stunning.
Mm-hmm. Gabriella Montez.
Gabriella Montez, the classic example.
Walked so they could run.
Literally. So stunning. So, should we talk about social media?
Yes, definitely.
Because it's a social media trend, as you just said. We were just talking in our little break then.
Yeah, off the record.
Off the record. We're saying it goes about saying between the two of us, and then we realise we have to talk about social media.
We have to say it, yeah.
We literally have to. So, this is a huge thing on social media right now, the idea of glowing up. I mean, if you're on TikTok, it's, I'm trying to fit back into my jeans, blah, 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 blah. It's Glow Up City.
I've seen that girl.
It's everywhere. It's,
hi, my name's Rebecca, and I'm trying to
fit back into my jeans.
Rebecca?
I don't even know. Yeah, everyone is wanting this big...
It's like, for lunch, I had poached egg on toast and she goes through her whole day, and I'm like, God, Rebecca, what's going on? What's new with you?
And then people do kind of like... fake ones where they use her audio of like, I had a little poached egg and then they're showing their like packet of cigarettes and things like that.
But
then I had a little smoothie and it's like a beer. It's a funny little TikTok thing.
Hilarious.
Yeah, it's everywhere. Everyone wants this transformation.
Mm-hmm.
Why would you not? Goes without saying. that's gonna be what our merch says. It says goes without saying. It goes without saying.
Goes without saying. Well, because often as well, you guys will be like, it's interesting because you were talking about this thing, but like you didn't mention kind of the biggest thing about it. And we're like, fuck, yeah, you're so right.
Because we thought it goes without saying, but turns out we're on a podcast where you have to say things.
But it's because, yeah, between us, it goes without saying.
But we're running a podcast. It's so dumb.
As well, because amongst friends, it's difficult to remember that you guys aren't physically in our friendship and don't know everything that we've discussed and like who we are. And some things between us go without saying. And so we imagine that between all of us, it goes without saying, but it really doesn't.
So guys, it goes without saying. Yeah, no, of course it doesn't.
Some things need to be declared.
What was it? Why would it go without saying? What, we all just imagine the convo? Let's just all imagine the podcast convo.
Well, we know what we're going to say, so it goes without saying.
Netflix are like, oh, no, we're not putting out any more shows. Just imagine the shows. It goes without saying they'll be good. It goes without saying they'll be good. Just imagine what they are.
You can imagine what they're like. So true. Something that I wanted to discuss that we have spoken about a million and one times, but let's declare it. Let's air it out. Is what I would call the Glossier model, and not a physical human being model, but as in the model of a brand like Glossier and what they have imposed and what we then as consumers sustain. So if you don't know, Glossier is a relatively new, within the scope of things, within the beauty industry, brand that sells girl next door, barely there, quote unquote, makeup and skincare products. It's a beauty brand and all of their marketing revolves around a very natural and natural beauty kind of face. And I think there's a lot to be said, actually, when it comes to something like Glossier, because it really pushes that whole beauty branding narrative of love the skin you're in.
But also transform the skin you're in. Love it whilst transforming the skin you're in.
Love the skin you're in, but only if it fits within the 5 shades that we have in our shade range.
Kind of only if your skin is white?
Yeah. But also that's what I think is interesting with Glossier, is it's love the skin you're in, but only if your skin looks perfect before. And after you've put on our £30 foundation, you're not going to be able to tell it's there anyway. So all that acne you've got, forget about it. This isn't for you. So this whole brand that everybody is completely obsessed with is so far from inclusivity. It is nuts. And whilst then you still have Fenty on the other side of that, that is so amazing. It's so insane that the two can coexist. It's bizarre.
Because I was shocked with Glossier because I didn't really know much about them. And I saw a review and I was like, yeah, okay, that looks like my kind of thing because I don't really like wearing foundation, blah, blah, blah.
You were influenced.
Yeah, I was so influenced. Literally used an influencer's code. I was like, yeah, I'm so influenced on this shit. Got a load of Glossier stuff because I was like, okay, this kind of looks like my kind of vibe. Got it. And I remember we were having a conversation with this and it's like, you said a thing that is so true. It's like, it's almost like they've got a foundation, wiped off half of the product and sold you that.
Yeah.
It's literally packaged in like a minimalist kind of look, looks very stunning, but there's nothing, there's no product. I really like it. This is the thing. I really like it as a product because it suits my kind of completely clear skin, basically. But that's because I fit a very niche.
And it's fun to put on.
Yeah, it's that.
It's fun to hold a beautiful little bottle, a nice little where everyone's thing. Got it on Instagram. And they've completely pervaded our scent of our scope of what it is to be beautiful. And that's why I think social media is really important that we reference, because you, if you're listening to this podcast, I think it goes without saying, you've been completely saturated by what you see on social media.
Totally. And you just want whatever you're seeing. You literally want whatever you see.
And what you're seeing is a skinny blonde white girl. So of course you want to go on your summer holidays and come back super skinny. You're going to dye your hair.
Also, you're not only just seeing the picture, you're seeing the number of likes and the comments below it. And believe me, there's many.
But what I find interesting, and I don't have an answer for this, so maybe you do, why, even though we know, we know all of this about Glossier, this is new news, everyone knows this, everyone knows that about Glossier, everyone knows this about social media, it's not real and no one really looks like that, and you've been told a million times before, yeah, love the skin you're in, whatever, just be who you are, why still then, even though we know social media, so much of it is fake, do we still slip in so often to trying to adhere to it, adhere to the standards that aren't attainable? Why? Even though we know.
Because I think the whole we know it's fake thing is so silly from people, because it's the same thing as, I always think this, with either horror mazes or horror films. You know it's fake. You can't go into something saying, you know it's fake, so don't be scared. You know it's fake. You go into a horror maze, there's people jumping out of you. You know then actors. You know it's not. So our brains are fucking thick. We know it's a picture that's been photoshopped of a stunning, stunning model. But what I'm seeing is a stunning, stunning, stunning model that I could look like if I did these ridiculous steps. So you go into a horror maze and you're thinking, this is fake. I know it's fake. I'm entering it knowing this is all a facade.
But I'm still terrified.
But my brain is not going to be able to tell the difference.
Yeah, completely that.
It's the same thing. So however much we hear, oh, love the skin you're in, which is the most crazy marketing.
Isn't that insane?
It's literally a 180 thing they've done in a year and in 5 years and expected us all to go with it, from hate your skin, hate your life, hate your weight, hate everything about yourself, to no, now love yourself, please.
Hate your skin so much that you're going to spend your hard-earned money on changing it.
But do love it. Love it, love it, love it. Just buy this thing that costs £100.
Love it as well, definitely.
So it's the most incredible thing they've made us. They've honestly managed to trick us into thinking they want us to love our skin. That's a hilarious thing. Hilarious to think that a brand would want that from you, because they don't.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think we're all thick as fuck. That's why we believe it.
Well, society just couldn't function. If you loved yourself, society wouldn't function, because believe me, you would not be living the life that you are living now if you loved yourself.
Absolutely not. It's, you put a thing this morning, this will be about a week ago for you guys listening, you put it on the story this morning saying, you can either live insecure and everyone will love you, or you can live to yourself authentically having fun and everyone will hate you. Which one do you choose? It's that. Which do you choose?
Slumflower said, I say this all the time. We literally don't stop saying this, even though at this point it does go without saying. But the Slumflower had this amazing quote where she said, so many people, even the people close to you, even the people you would never imagine it of, will be enemies of your happiness.
Yeah, enemies of your happiness is such a quote we use.
Because I was thinking yesterday, I lived so long fearing embarrassing myself. I lived so long like fearing stepping out and doing something that, or whatever, in order to like maintain relationships or just to not rock the boat. So you live so long not doing what you want in order to keep everyone else around you happy or just not talking about you.
To shrink yourself.
Yeah, the more I go and do whatever that is really mortifying and embarrassing, the more fun I'm having.
Yeah.
So I'm going to keep doing it. I have never had more fun than I have had since I've been absolutely the most embarrassing person alive.
I completely agree.
Yeah, I need to be mortified. If you're embarrassed for me, good, because I'm having an absolute whale of a time.
It's so fucking true. It's actually so true. The more that you do that's authentic, that other people will be like, oh my God, that's cringe.
It's cringe. Did you see she did that? Cringe. No, I'm cringing at you because you are miserable now and you will die miserable.
But I've done it both. Like, I've never been more fucking depressed than when I've just been conforming to what everyone else wants from me. Oh, but we wanted you to do this. Okay, I'll do that then. And I'm miserable. Or...
we wanted you to look like this.
Yeah, okay, well, I'll just wear that then because you have an image of me and I'll just live up to that. Miserable. Or I can live how I want to live, do what I want to do. Everyone's suddenly a bit pissed off with me, but I'm not pissed off with myself.
Time of your life.
Time of my life. Yeah, I think it's so interesting. So you have an option in life. Everyone has the option. You can piss people off by embarrassing yourself, essentially, by society standards, by wearing what you want to wear, looking how you want to look, and doing what you want to do, having sex with who you want to have sex with. Or you can not do any of that, but you get to keep around a sort of squad of fake people that all want each other's misery. Your choice.
And will further validate their own conformity.
It's funny how active that choice is. You think it's like, oh, no, but my life is different. Like, that wouldn't happen to me. I can maybe...
the people around me wouldn't say that to me.
I honestly think if you want to see who is loyal to you, if you want to see who's kind of potentially insecure, do something different. Just do one thing that's different and see how that sits.
Just speak out about something. Put something a bit weird on your story and see them. Just watch.
Just do something that you believe in.
Just watch them cry in your DMs.
Or just literally wear a zebra print pair of boots that are really stunning. Just like a pair of heeled boots that are a bit stunning and a bit different, and watch what people say when they fear.
Oh, your boots are a bit loud, aren't they?
Yeah, they fear it. They fear the confidence.
People are terrified. They're shaking in their boots because we don't want women to do what they want.
They're shaking in their Nike trainers. They honestly are. But I think that's the thing. It's actually really liberating to realize you do have a choice, and literally to be like, okay, well, I can be insecure with friends.
Quote unquote friends. If your friends secretly hate you and are digging you out at every meeting and every chance that you see them, I don't see no friends.
I'm not even talking about friends though, kind of everyone, acquaintances, everyone that you meet.
Society. Like
if you want to test society, do something that society doesn't like. And what society doesn't like is people that are happy and confident.
So fucking true.
So be happy and confident and see what happens. It will crumble.
Just fucking test it out. Test it fucking out.
I was also, this is on a different subject, but I think it kind of is, it's not really relevant, but it's about Korea.
Korea the country.
It's about North Korea. It's about careers, jobs, work, capitalism, any way you want to phrase it. It kind of does fit. It's not really glow ups, but in the idea of like either be this or be this, I think there's an option you have in Korea. I was talking about this with my friend the other day who also does kind of a job that's not conventional. And I was saying to her that me and you have a theory that you can either choose, you have an active decision to make. You can choose stability and boredom or anxiety and fun. Those are your two options in life. Like, you can choose the stable job where you will be bored, or you can choose the kind of anxiety-inducing job which is fun.
Also because I reckon the anxiety that's induced is pretty temporary once you realise how true to yourself that you are being. Like, once you realise that there really is no anxiety and just shedding what is holding you back anyway, there's no ramification.
I do think there's anxiety at the beginning though. There's definitely been anxiety at the beginning though of starting a different thing. Oh my God, I didn't know how my life would
change.
Not even fall apart, just everyone has an opinion.
And also we're conned into thinking that before they didn't have an opinion, but they did. They were just digging you out subtly and then not saying anything to your face because they weren't threatened by you. A woman with confidence is terrifying. It's a terrifying thing.
Society as a whole is scared of women that are confident, beautiful, intelligent, or have any mm-hmm. traits that men should possess, i.e. power. So you're not supposed to have any. You're not supposed to love the skin you're in. You're supposed to absolutely fucking despise the skin you're in. But also... Mm-hmm.
You're supposed to be miserable and get back in the kitchen.
Basically, yeah. Man alive. Man, oh man, oh man.
Honestly. Oh, something else I wanted to talk about. And someone else actually sent this in. So I screenshotted this. Something I wanted to talk about was how glow-ups are so succinctly linked to the concept of a revenge body.
Absolutely.
And that a revenge body is kind of a much more, I think that's a term that's slightly more on its way out, but glow ups is kind of the exact same thing, just with a very thin veil over it.
Totally. We actually got quite a few comments of people saying that, yeah, I wanted to glow up after a breakup and things like that. So that is, you're calling it a glow up, but it's a revenge body. 100% it's a revenge body, which, I mean, it's the patriarchy at work, isn't it? It's men after a breakup. Yeah, go out with the lads, go and sleep with some girls, go and get yourself in the gym, don't eat, suffer, know your place,
book a hair appointment,
yeah, and you're going to try and get that same guy back or show him that you're happy with another guy. So strange.
Well, this is what I find troubling, worrisome about revenge body, because who are you really vengeful of?
Who are you avenging? Yeah, it's like,
yeah,
so strange.
Who are you vengeful of? Yourself? Are you vengeful for your grandma for giving her your wide waist? Or
so
you vengeful
true.
Of your patrilineal line for your hairline that was passed
so
on to you.
Fucking
who are you
true.
Vengeful
yeah.
of? And who were you before you learned that you should hate yourself?
Exactly that.
What are you avenging? It's more commiserations for you.
You want a revenge body. The boy's not feeling bad when he sees you. He doesn't give a fuck. He sees you and you've got a nose job and you've lost a stone. He doesn't give a fucking fuck.
Well, you know what the narrative will be? Yeah, I dumped her and she just like went and got skinny and now she's like fucking loads of boys.
She's so insecure. Yeah. She's so insecure. She's so needy. Oh, she did that for
Trust me.
Trust
me, mate. She's so fucking insecure. Yeah. She's suicidal.
She's a psycho.
Trust me. Yeah, she's a fucking psycho.
Yeah, so don't think that that's helping the case. Do not think that's helping your fucking situation here.
Something else I thought was really interesting was a lot of people, and this I definitely did screenshot because I've just seen it. A couple of people said this. Someone said they had more of an anti-glow up. They dyed their hair, got a fringe, nose ring and tattoos, became a goth.
Love that.
Someone else said...
But that is glowing up.
Well, I thought it was interesting because it reminded me of Miley Cyrus. I don't know if you ever read Miley Cyrus's book, Miles to Go.
No, I didn't. Wow. Love a pun.
I mean, you know I love a pun.
Oh, love it.
And in the book, she talks about when her and Nick Jonas first broke up, he had always said during their relationship that he loved her hair when she had these beautiful golden highlights and all of this, blah, blah, blah. So when they broke up, she dyed her hair dark fucking like black. And she goes to the premiere of their fucking film with this dark black curly hair. There's actually the meme of Miley with the fucking bright blue eyes and the dark hair and the pale skin is from that night. And it was a concept that I didn't really understand at the time. And I can't relate to it still. I mean, then, and I can't relate to it now.
I definitely think that makes sense.
I think it makes complete sense, but I can't. I've never done that.
What bit can't you relate to? As in that you would transform yourself into something they would dislike?
Into the opposite. Yeah, I've never done that.
I know someone that did this. Their boyfriend was actually like incredibly abusive. Like had a lot of mental health issues, but was incredibly abusive as well.
And the two can coexist, and we see it all the time.
Totally. He would always say, "I love your hair long. I love your hair long." Of course, he fucking did. Love it long, 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 long. Fucking princess, little girl, sort of. vibes. Mm-hmm. The second they broke up, she cut it into like a short, dark bob. Stunning.
Nice. So stunts. Kind of Rapunzel.
Yeah, honestly.
From Tangled.
Honestly, Tangled. I love it. Short bob, stunning. And it was kind of like a big gaining yourself back move. I think after a relationship where you feel you've lost yourself a bit in becoming something that they would find desirable, into just being like, fuck, I've had long hair, which I have slightly disliked or not really had any thoughts on. It's just grown during the time of our relationship that you've always praised, and you used to be horrific to me. So now it's chopped because now I can be myself again.
I like that in theory. I like the theory of it being a tool for liberation or a tool to progress to empowerment, but I still think,
or do you think it's self-destructive?
You're making a choice about yourself, you're making a choice about your appearance, still based on what somebody else's opinion is of you. Even though you're rejecting it, you're still doing something to yourself based on somebody else. I think that's the part that I've been lucky to escape.
I've seen it happen before, where it's been done in an empowering way. It's not in like a self-destructive, I'm gonna shave my head, like stressed. It's like, I'm gonna shave my head.
Yeah, sort of, yeah.
Like, I need to do this now.
Well, I completely agree that changing up your appearance can be so liberating. And I completely get that. I mean, I understand all of it. But yeah, I completely relate to that idea of more accurately expressing yourself and empowering yourself in that way. But I feel like any decision that you're making about your own self that is based
on the opinion of a boy. Steeped,
yeah, that is based in the opinion of somebody else. Is wrong.
Dangerous. Yeah, I completely agree. And especially the revenge body thing, because a revenge body requires essentially restriction, excessive workouts, and essentially a lot of pain for you.
Maybe surgery.
It's a painful experience on the most part. I know, well, yeah, working out can be healthy. That argument is fucking tired. Like, we're not living in a world where it's like working out, people do it for health. No, they fucking don't. They do it for aesthetics, they starve themselves and they go to the gym. Yeah, absolutely, your mental health can be helped by endorphins, absolutely, not denying it. But I think the way that women are encouraged to diet and work out, don't tell me that's to help us live longer. It's to fucking kill us and make us into skeletons.
Yeah. Well, it's the whole glow up, lifestyle glow up thing that we kind of touched on at the start. It's like, there are so many ways in which you are told to better yourself that are actually just incredibly counterintuitive and very damaging.
Starve yourself.
And it's largely when you're making a decision about your own self based on what you think everybody else wants of you.
The thing that people want from you is your misery. I think when you realize that, the thing that people want from you is you to be miserable, quiet, and compliant.
Mm-hmm. It sounds so extreme, but I promise you it's fucking true.
As I say, if you think, no, my family don't want that, no, my friends don't want that, go and do something different.
Do something and see what happens. Fucking hell.
Feedback after.
We sound really angry, but
we sound crazy.
It's such an epiphany.
No, I'm angry at the world. I'm not angry at any individuals. I'm angry at, yeah, it's the world. It's like, if you think that your ex-boyfriend wants to see you succeed, be stunning, mm-hmm. and all of these things. No, he doesn't. He wants to see you fucking miserable.
People who will actually back you and actually want, quote unquote, what's best for you are an anomaly.
Want what's best for them.
Yeah, but that's what I mean. Like, people who are actually looking out for you and actually are invested in your happiness are an anomaly.
And I think if you think you found one,
give it a test, yeah, and see what happens.
Give it the test that we've just said. Give it the test, see what happens. But also, I almost think it's of no fault of them in a way. It's almost like we live in an insecure, anxious society.
It's a societal issue.
And we've probably all been that person that's wanted misery. But don't let yourself be miserable because someone else wants you to be miserable.
Please don't do that. Yeah, don't do that to yourself.
It's an active decision.
Don't do that to yourself.
The thing is, how basic does it sound? Don't be miserable because you think you should be, because other people want you to be miserable.
It sounds so cliche, but I think that with every cliche sounds so cliche until you realise it's fucking true and you embody it within your own life.
Well, do you remember I messaged you the other day? I think actually we were on the phone and you're like, oh, what's new for you? And I think I said, like, I've just realised that my life is my life. Like, I think, oh, yeah, I've realised that I'm alive. Like, it's taken me 23 years to be like, oh, wait, this thing that I'm in right now, it belongs to me. I think it takes a lot of time to actually realize that what you're living for is not a performance, it's not for anyone else to to tick off and say, yeah, you did that well. You're not going to have a rating when you're lying on your fucking deathbed. Yeah, you did that right. If you wanted to do something fucking crazy in your life, there's no award system. There's no gold, silver and bronze awards.
I reckon it takes quite a world shaking event to get to that epiphany, because I only had that at the age that I did, because my whole world had been turned upside down. And I remember, I don't know if I said this to you, but I remember literally being sat there, lifting my arm up in the air, turning my hands around, putting down my fingers one by one, putting them back down, lifting up the other one, and thinking, I'm the one doing that. No one else is raising my limbs to and fro. This is all me. And whatever decision I make came from me. And so much of your life is not within your autonomous control. So the things that you have control over, use them. Push the boundaries. See what you can get away with.
It's so fucking true. See what you can get away with. I think that's so true. We live in a world that's so fucking crazy that we've designed something.
We sound nuts, don't we?
It's fucking, but it's literally like, just honestly, just fucking do something different. Like, you'll love it.
I completely agree. As usual, goes without saying.
Goes without saying, guys. You are alive. It's within your control. Okay, guys, this is going to be kind of a long episode, but we're going to just do one more question.
Wow. I attempted so many times hoping that it would make me feel complete. Attempted to glow up so many times it made me feel complete. Turns out I was just trans, LOL. Honestly, LOL, do you see what society does to people? I mean, we could go on and on about that.
The world wants you to be anything but authentic.
I had a nose job over the summer when I was 17. Drastic and expensive glow up. Yeah, I fucking bet.
Over the summer as well, did they say?
Yeah. I had a nose job over the summer when I was 17. Drastic, yeah, and expensive glow up.
Love that for you if you want it, but it's so fascinating that we're told. I was talking about plastic surgery the other day with some people, and I just think it's so interesting.
I think we should do an episode on it.
Totally. I think it's so interesting that we're told to chop up our bodies, chop them, and have things put in and moved around and sewn back up to fit in with a world that we hate. Isn't that crazy? It's so drastic.
This is why I think we can't do this episode without talking about social media, because now surgeons, plastic surgeons, are having young girls, 17-year-old girls, come through their doors and hold up pictures of them with filters on and say, give me this version of myself.
I filmed a video for Higher Priestess the other day. It was a story and I didn't put it up because I did another one. I do many takes because we do. It takes a moment. But I did one and I said on it, oh my God, I'm going to show a plastic surgeon this filter. Like, it was such a stunning filter. I was like, oh my God, I'm going to show this to a plastic surgeon, like, as a joke.
Wow.
And then I was like, well, I don't have a plastic surgeon, blah, 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 blah.
I see how it went off and why you didn't use that take.
It went off. It's like, I think I said, this is why I didn't use it. The amount of Googling I need to do to find a plastic surgeon is like quite extreme. Like, oh, I don't even know where to start with finding a plastic surgeon. I'd literally be Googling plastic surgeon UK.
Plastic surgeon near me.
Yeah, literally. Opening plastic surgeon opening times.
On Fiverr.com. Freelance plastic surgeon, 24 hours.
I go to someone's house. It's like, yeah, the amount that I look at a filter and think, well, yeah, that is the enhanced version of me. That's how I should look if I was a model. That's how society would want me to look. And also simultaneously not want me to look.
It's also not, there's then, we just hate women so much that now that's not what a model looks like. That's what an Insta model looks like.
Yeah.
And so we hate attractive women on all levels.
They're Slaggy Lindsay. It's, oh, you're Gretchen Wiener.
On all levels, including physical.
We just absolutely despise women. And what we despise more than anything is, we despise two things, I'm going to say. We despise the fucking Regina Georges that are trendsetters when they cut fucking things in their bras and in their tops and see their bras. And we despise them because they're pretty and they're influential. And we also, and they fit the mold. And we also despise even more so women that act, they operate in the world as if they have that influence, but they don't. So like Lizzo sort of thing, that you operate in the world as a pretty woman and with all the confidence and all the power and all the influence of a model, but you very much differ from what society's been told. And I think there's nothing more threatening to society and the patriarchy, capitalism, white supremacy, all of the same things, as someone that operates with privilege and power but looks like they shouldn't.
Completely. Completely, completely, completely. And even if you fit into the Regina George model, Regina George still has people talking bad about her behind her back and thinking, she's not that pretty, she's not that hot.
She's dumb. She gets called stupid. She's not fucking stupid. She's manipulated all of you.
She's not that this, she's not that this. Yeah, completely. So even when you're doing absolutely everything to fit into what society wants, it still won't be enough.
Because society doesn't want confident women. They want scared women that buy their barely their mascara, barely their makeup for £500. That's honestly what they want. Fuckers, fuck the world, burn it down, burn it to the ground.
I love it. Well, I hope you guys have loved it too.
Same. Well, we'll see you in the next episode.
See you when we see you. Really, really grateful for everyone who sent in your thoughts and your experiences and your messages. Fucking love you. Like, God, love you so much.
Love you so much. Come to our Animal Crossing Islands.
Oh,
I said I was going to do
an update.
I just said I remembered I would do a reveal, name reveal.
Here we go.
My island is called, so you know Ikumarama.
Yeah.
Oh, wait, my housemate's just walking in. Trudge along with a big old bike. Come on. Oh, he's sighing. He's going, patriarchy's got him down. He's going through. Okay, so island reveal name.
Yay.
Is... Erin's is called Ikumarama. Mine, if you're a Studio Ghibli fan, you might remember this. It's called Laputa. Clap, clap, clap. Which
it's
is really
stunning,
cute.
Guys.
It's in a film, a floating castle in the sky called Laputa. And I named it after that. Stunning.
Beautiful. We wouldn't have expected anything less.
No. If you did, I'd be offended.
Okay. Thanks,
so
guys.
We'll
so
see you
much.
In the next episode.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Guys, off to Laputa and Ikumarama.
Off we go.
Bye.